Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello and welcome to Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told, and a show that is worth 60 whole portions. That is a reference to Star Wars The Force Awakens. If you haven't seen Star Wars The Force Awakens, I'm shocked that you are watching or listening to this show. I think this is probably the last week that we'll have to say it, but there might be some spoilers for The Force Awakens. So please, if you haven't seen it, go out and see it 72 times and then come back and watch and listen. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. Your other co-host is, of course,
right here, the Internet Soapbox Mark Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. We're joined by a wonderful guest, Mr. John Rocha. I love this man, and I just said that to the public. Go ahead and tell the folks what you're working on right now.
Hey, guys, I'm doing a lot of stuff right now, hosting a bunch of shows, and I am going to be at the Harry Potter Land at Universal Studios soon. I can't say what I'm going to be doing, but I will be there, so if you ever want to come see me live in a show, I just got cast.
Yes, we can't say that you're cast in a role, right? Because otherwise it's kind of creepy to just say, I will always be at Harry Potter Land.
The day you're there, trust me, I'll be there.
I'm hanging out talking to your children. No. I'll be doing that and I'll be able to announce it on Twitter or on Instagram very soon.
Cool. So, and when does it open up?
Well, the park opens in April, so I don't know if there'll be any soft opening, so I can't say anything about that, but I imagine there might be.
Cool. Well,
you can find John Rocha in the back corner of the Boar's Head Tavern
with my butterbeer.
And tweet him at The Rocha Says.
Yes, please.
Excellent. So we want to ask you, John, we're going to talk today mostly about some of the fan theories of Force Awakens. We've done our big breakdown episode the weekend that the movie came out, but we want to ask you a little bit about your experience of seeing The Force Awakens.
Sure.
So how many times have you seen it now?
Four times now.
Four times.
Yeah.
And you have seen it 2D, 3D, 4D?
I've seen every possible iteration except for the where you sit in the chair and it moves around, the 4D or whatever it is.
Okay.
But I've seen it in 2D, and then I saw it at the El Capitan with the light show, which is amazing, here in L.A., and then I saw it in 3D, which is kind of a waste a little bit. And then I saw an IMAX 3D, which is the only way to see Star Wars.
The Force Awakens. Amazing. Yeah, I saw it in normal 3D, and then just yesterday my wife and I saw it at Grauman's Chinese Theater in the real... You know, every time it sounds like such hyperbole when they're like, hello, get ready for a laser IMAX 3D experience. Like, come on, guys, calm down. Like, oh no, wow.
Yeah.
So crystal clear. And then, I mean this as a compliment, there are a couple of times where like, I forgot it was 3D.
Yeah.
Which is so amazing. Yeah.
Now, I had a friend who asked, we were going over, and my friend was like, why is it such a big deal about, like, why is it different than regular 3D? And I was like, you just wait. And when we were in there, 5 minutes in the film, he reaches over, he hits my arm, and he goes, oh, my God. And I said, yeah, it looks like you can put your hand on a destroyer.
Yeah.
It's that amazing.
Let's pluck it right out.
Yeah. There's no way to talk about it without sounding like you're being paid to do a commercial for it, because it's just so good. IMAX. It's an experience. 3D. No, when you first saw it, fans who have been following you on your Star Wars podcast, Far, Far Away, might know that you were maybe a little mixed at first.
Yeah, I was. I had some issues with the plot, some character development issues, and I think no different than some people had. Not as fervently or vehemently as some people had, but I was always like, but still go see it. Definitely go see it, because there's a lot of magic in the film, still a lot of fun moments in the film. And Daisy really is fantastic in the film. She is absolutely my favorite. I've seen it four times, and I've yet to find a moment where I don't believe one second of what she's doing.
Yeah, she is amazing. But now, have you had a little bit of a Darth Vader Anakin redemption where you've come to truly love and geek out about the film?
I would say so. The mask has been taken off at the end of Jedi, and I can say that I can die happy now. Yeah, I absolutely love it now, and every time I go back, I love it even more, and it goes even faster. And for, obviously, spoiler alert, but when we get to that snow planet near the end, it's always surprising to me that we're already there.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so much fun that we're like, oh my God, we're on the snow planet already. Crap. You know, it's about to end. And so I love that that's happened. And I didn't expect that to happen. I went back a second time just to reconfirm how I felt. But then it's been such a joy to see it every version. You know, I've got maybe one more left in me in a couple of weeks or a month from now.
Yeah.
And then I'll be waiting till the Blu-ray.
So it sounds like maybe your analytical mind has turned off a little bit and you were able to just sort of let it sweep you away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which I think was the whole point.
Yeah.
You know?
And I would 100% agree with, if anybody is still kind of on the fence about the film and has only seen it once or twice and hasn't seen it in IMAX 3D, that's how you got to see it.
Yeah.
100% yeah. takes you away.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're an uber geek and any plot things are bothering you, they're really filled in by all sorts of bits of expanded universe stuff.
Yeah.
New canon expanded universe. Mm-hmm.
The novelization. And novelization, the, scenes,
the yeah. visual dictionary mm-hmm. entries on the data bank. You know, yeah. a lot of that stuff is all really, really crystal clear in there.
Yeah.
Speaking of emotion, my final question yeah. for you, John yeah. Rocha. Did you cry during any of your viewings? And if so, when and how much?
Here's what I would say. I didn't cry, but I got emotional a couple of times. I think when the Solo situation happened in IMAX. Because
the solo situation. Right, listen, you can't even bring yourself to say that out loud.
One of the original rejected titles, The Solo Situation.
I got in trouble on Movie Fights when I mentioned it casually in a defense.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people went on Twitter and tore me apart, were like so angry that I had alluded to a possible spoiler. And I was like, everyone knows he's had an issue with it.
Yeah.
So I just was like, okay. But yeah, when this time in IMAX, for whatever reason, because my father died in 2008. So to me, it was like, it really like affected me.
Yeah.
Because to see what Solo. Okay, well, fine. So when it Solo does, when the moment happens,
yeah, I think we're okay to talk yeah, we're fine. Blatantly
when,
about it.
When
here,
he gets yeah. stabbed, and when he gets shot, stabbed with the lightsaber, and his reaction is not to be angry, not to fight, not to wrestle away. It is to stroke his son's face one last time before he dies. I'm getting emotional talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. We've done even say like, you know. Even he's okay. Yeah, we talked a little bit on my podcast, yeah. Obsessed, about your yeah. relationship with your father.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the really powerful things about the Han Solo scene is yeah. that he means so much to so many people in different ways, where we've actually sort of put him in a father role or yeah. a brother role yeah. or just sort of a life counselor role.
Right.
That it has that extra weight. And
yeah. yeah. And the other moment is when they ask him about Luke Skywalker and he turns around. There's just a look on his face when he says, yeah. I knew Luke. There's just such a... There's so much power in what he's saying.
Power and weight.
Yeah. And pain. And happiness and pain. Like the combo.
Yeah, there's pain. And also, I feel like there's that moment where he's like, I can't put them in an escape pod
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
There's like... He's damn it. Emotionally touched and yeah. bummed that I'm not... here we go. Cool.
Yeah.
So shall we move on to news from the Holonet?
I believe we shall. News from the Holonet. A lot of the stuff that has been in the news is stuff that we'll be able to cover in our main topic about
yeah.
different fan theories. So I gathered some fun stuff here, such as the Blu-ray for Force Awakens is already being targeted for an April 5th release. So you can watch it many times before you go visit John Rocha at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter if you're in the Los Angeles area.
Be sure to approach him at Harry Potter Land and talk to him about Star Wars.
Exactly, 100% in character.
Make him break character.
What is that? Wars in the Stars? Aside from the deleted scenes, what sort of special features would you guys want to see on the Blu-ray?
I definitely want to see commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear commentary in kind of old school commentary that's not a bunch of people spliced together.
Yeah.
I want to hear Abrams and Kasdan watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would put Kennedy in there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All three of them.
Absolutely, yeah. Kind of the main auteurs of the movie.
I would love one last go around if it's Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill just discussing the movie throughout.
Oh man, that would be amazing. Yeah, because we one of our Duel of the Fates questions recently was which one of them would you want to watch the movie with?
Yeah.
You know, all the fan responses really made it clear, like, they have such iconic roles, not as only as their characters, but as actors.
And as people. Yeah.
And such, yeah. So Harrison would just grumble about acting choices.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill, who's mostly not in the movie, would just geek out about, like,
right.
I like BZ4CO. That's a great new droid.
Just like, that wasn't my favorite take. Ah, shut up, Harrison!
Yeah, and Carrie would just be riffing like she's doing stand-up. It'd be great.
I don't think you would be able to release it as a family release if you had
Carrie
on it.
Yeah.
She's totally unscripted.
She's a national treasure.
The force so bleeps. This is never going to happen, but my other favorite desire would be a commentary from Lucas.
I would say JJ and Lucas.
Not after that.
Or just straight up Lucas?
I'm telling you, not after that interview.
He immediately apologized for that, where he went too far.
Damage is done, dude.
Yeah. But I think Lucas's perspective is fascinating I'm so anxious to hear what his treatments were. I think there are some of the things that people complained about in Force Awakens, it being too similar to A New Hope, too many old ships. yeah. Planets That Are Reminiscent, Lucas probably would have done some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And some of it might not have been to our liking, and people might have said, that doesn't feel like Star Wars, but he would have done some crazy stuff. And I would love to just hear a commentary where he's like, here, the Starkiller base should have actually been a droid, a giant droid floating in space, and the beam should have come out of its belly button, and like, cool, like, bizarre, maybe not a good idea, but bizarre and interesting.
Like the Green Lantern that's a planet. I think it would be less of a commentary and more of every once in a while, he shouldn't look that old. or just random comments here and there.
Hey, I would have not have made that choice.
Yeah. Not me.
I would love a fan track like you can unlock. Where it's Chewbacca doing commentary for the whole movie. Or it's just him commentary.
A language track that's all in Wookiee.
Yeah.
Just like something really
that
silly.
That would be the awesomest thing.
That'd be fun. I think a nice mini doc about the original folks returning to the scene.
Totally.
I think they could make a lot. They shot a lot on that set. Yeah. And we'll probably just see a little bit here. How many times do you think you're going to buy this movie? Because with the original trilogy and the original films, they re-released them so many times. Do you think it's going to be a one and done? Or this and then whatever all 9-episode collection they're going to release in 5 years?
Interesting.
Yeah, I think I would buy it up to 2 times because I will certainly buy it when it comes out. And then there's the collection. But then at that point, where are movies going to be? Like, we're already backing away from media.
Physical media. Yeah.
I think the question is, how many times do I download it to my brain? Because I think that by the time the trilogy comes out, what is the technology going to be?
Right.
You know? But I think they can get me to buy it at least twice.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely.
Okay. We're not going to get any different editions of this time.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, that would be amazing if Disney sold it to somebody else and that company was like, Force Awakens was pretty good, but let me go in and fix it.
Today, touch it up a bit.
We're going to put a bunch of Jabbas in there.
a bunch of Jabbas. They're called Hutts.
let's put Zero the Hutt in there.
No.
Just ruin everything.
Can I throw one more thing in there?
Yeah.
I think Luke. It would be great if Lucas came back, if he comes back into the fold and does a show. Like, does, if they do a network or if they do a TV series, if they bring Lucas back to have him do a show and have his own and like create a show like Game of Thrones style, I think it would be fascinating to bring him back, and then it would like kind of go a long way to getting everybody to just kind of let it all go and accept him back into the fold. Yeah. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I think in general that he overstated and clearly got zealous in that Charlie Rose interview and said some things that he immediately apologized for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think the spirit of, I want to do it my way, they're not going to let me, so I'm going to go my own way, is that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was that great marriage between George Lucas and Dave Filoni, where Lucas still got to do what he wanted, but didn't go too crazy, and it would be amazing to see something like that.
Agreed. Speaking of the Blu-ray and deleted scenes, we got a little bit of a breakdown on what some of the deleted scenes were. Back in one of the trailers, we saw a lightsaber handoff between what we now know as Maz Kanata and Leia, General Leia. I almost called her princess. Whoops!
She'd be royalty to me. So
we were going to see Maz Kanata actually return to the Rebel base on the Millennium Falcon after the big confrontation. So we didn't see any of that. There was going to be a scene where we saw Luke's hand and lightsaber floating through space. And we were going to get a little bit more from Corsella, who was one of Leia's underlings, who we see heavily featured in the scene where the Republic system all gets blown away by Starkiller Base. A little bit more of Unkar Plutt, and I think a little bit more of Kylo Ren and Supreme Leader Snoke talking about Darth Vader, which would have been a little bit cool. Is there any sequence that I mean, there's a lot of sequences that are all going to be on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in particular that you guys are really excited to see?
I think the Corsella conversation with Leia, because I think that's the one, to me, that maybe shouldn't have been cut. And my understanding of the scene is that it is Leia laying out to Corsella that the character Corsella, that she should go to the Republic and say, hey, the First Order is really a problem. You really need to fully get on board with Resistance.
Right.
And I feel like everything to understand the political backstory and sort of the reason for the Starkiller base and the plot is all in the film, but it's quick throwaway lines. Mm-hmm. And you have to be a big Star Wars geek or infer a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel like one more political scene would have done it.
Right.
And I know, like, in Star Wars land, political scene is a...
taboo.
Political scene is basically saying, let's fight about whether or not you like the prequels. But I feel like this movie did need it, because it took the time to not just be a story about the characters, but to tell a little bit about how the galaxy is going. Right. And I think they clearly got frightened and said, we don't want to have a political scene. And then as a result, a lot of people were like, Wait, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think you're right, just because it also would have made that scene with all five planets get destroyed, it have you a little more of a connection to those planets, a little more connection to what's happening, so that when they're dying, like, oh, there's at least some scene that establishes them so that you can feel the death of them. Or feel the effect of it.
Or at least of Corsella.
Yeah.
Or just be like, oh, no, that's the girl that we liked. Ah, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And those other planets, I suppose, too.
Yeah. And I think there was also a snow speeder chase, right?
There was.
Yeah.
They were, when Finn and Rey arrive at the oscillator, you see that they're a snow speeder that wasn't anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So the scene is supposedly Finn and Rey hijacking a speeder to divert stormtroopers from chasing Han and Chewie while they install the detonators. And it was just going to be a fun scene of them piloting another ship together, which would have been pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we will get a lot of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any more Maz Kanata would be awesome. I love him.
Just in general, Maz Kanata was just such a fun character.
Yeah.
People I can't wait to see more.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Kylo and Snoke scene, if that is indeed.
It says we're going to be getting 15 to 20 minutes of deleted scenes on the Blu-ray.
Nice.
Awesome.
So, cool. We also have a fun little bit about The Force Awakens' original title. It was going to be taken from a very, very infamous novel from the Star Wars Expanded Universe. It would have been called Shadow of the Empire, which some say fits a lot better than The Force Awakens, but there's a lot of cultural impact to that title. Do you think it being titled that would have been a little confusing to Expanded Universe fans or too exclusive for new viewers? How do you feel about this title?
I love the title. I don't think I think they made the right choice not making it this time, because you want to bring the fans back. And The Force Awakens, it has such a double meaning for so many people, because it's reawakening your love of the franchise again.
Yeah.
And so to me, they made the right choice. But that's an awesome title, Shadow of the Empire.
Well, I'm normally Mr. Positive Star Wars guy, and I'm angry about the concept of Shadow of the Empire for like 17 reasons. I'm so glad they didn't do it.
Okay.
I agree with you that The Force Awakens is such a better title. It has that great double meaning.
Yeah.
It's about the new instead of the old.
Right.
And I think having Shadow of the Empire would have enforced people's criticisms that it's too looking back as opposed to looking forward. Yeah. You know, the original Shadows of the Empire, which was plural, was a whole big thing that was comic books, you know, video game, everything.
It was a big it was like its own mini universe, pocket universe in the expanded universe.
Yeah, and it's definitely one of those things that was, for me as a Star Wars fan, it almost worked, but so much of it felt random science fiction-y as opposed to really Star Wars-y. So I think having that specific memory attached to it, it doesn't inspire confidence when somebody's taking over the franchise and like, how about this sort of marketing move from 1996? Let's do that as the title of the brand new Star Wars movie. Well,
especially when they've been clearing out the expanded universe. Just be like, all right, you stay there and wait until we need you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I it would have been a little bit too confusing, I figure.
Shadows of the Empire is also a good title because of how the First Order is portrayed in the first
movie. Yeah,
but like, they are
I think it works.
They're a shadow. Yeah, like I said, they're a carbon copy of the Empire or trying to be the Empire, and it worked because the shadow is not the real thing.
I would have preferred Empire Wannabes as a title. You know, like, that would have
been
a little
bit... Music by the Spice Girls. If you want to be the Empire. I'm so sorry.
Boom.
Please don't keep going.
Who gets that right?
A lost track on the Star Wars Kinect game. Billy Dee Williams has recently revealed that he has not yet been contacted for Episode 8. How would you want to see Lando in the film if he does come back in either 8 or 9? As Finn's parentage, or just kind of, hey, I'm a general.
Don't want Finn's parents.
No, okay.
No, really? Super don't want that myself. There was a leak, not a leak, or something that people were claiming was a leak. And I was like, oh, please don't let that be true.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful, I think, for fairly obvious reasons. I would love to see him not as a higher up in the Resistance, but kind of back to his old ways, the same way Han was. Because I kind of like this picture that our heroes had some good times after Jedi, when they're setting up the new Republic, they're setting up the new Jedi base, things are going well. And then it doesn't work. And I like that they kind of go back to the root. So I'd love to see him on something like Cloud City. Not Cloud City, but have like, I'm going to go back to being in business.
Business was where I was successful. Damn it, I just got to go back to it. You can see that.
I like Lando. I like the fact that Lando is one of these characters that straddles the line between both good and evil. Like, he does what he has to do to survive, right?
Yeah.
And we accept it because Billy Dee Williams does such a great job playing him, such a smooth job playing him. there is, I would accept the possibility of him possibly being Finn's dad. I think it would be such a shortcut because Lando would be the kind of guy that'd be like, oh, I got a baby. Oh, I got to like hand him off to someplace else. Or like, I think he would do that. He doesn't want the responsibility of raising a child, what he's doing. That would be accepting. Or the other side, you could go with Mace. Mace is a more powerful choice because Mace was a Jedi. So it could make sense because the way he held that lightsaber mm-hmm. and used the lightsaber, certainly a possibility. But I would like Lando, what you said. I like you, what you said, Joseph. Yeah. Introduce that way, still doing his thing. Maybe have a couple underlings. Lobot's still there or whatever, and still doing his thing.
Yeah. Lobot like hasn't aged, but nobody complains about him not aging.
Yeah, I would be excited to see him also have something where he can just shine for a few moments and go. I think Force Awakens made it clear to us, it's the challenge of spinning all these plates, having these characters that you really have to have a good narrative function for. Yeah. So if Rey and Finn are on an adventure and in trouble and need somewhere to hide out, and hey, cool, it's Lando. Yeah. Then it's like a nice narrative function.
That would be great.
Because we've seen the Unknown in the movie, has there ever been if they were friends like Han and Chewie, or was it just that he was the co-pilot when he needed one?
I don't know of any canon, new or old, of what their relationship is, if they're buds or if they just kind of got stuck together on Millennium Falcon duty. You would think that Lando would pick out somebody he likes.
So that would be, if Nia Nam is there, why isn't Lando there? Yeah. So that points out that he wouldn't be a part of the Resistance if he wouldn't be there with his friend Mr. Numb. Yeah. big fans of Nia Numb here at the show. I have not heard the Mace Windu theory. That's interesting. We'll talk about it more when we get into the main thing. But
That is more interesting to me. And just for clarity, I don't like the Lando being Finn's father because I just think it's too limiting in terms of race. For full clarity, I feel like
there's more than one black guy in the universe.
Exactly. And since Billy Dee Williams' casting was so great back in 1980, and now in a different way, it is so great that Finn is a major character in this new movie. It just limits it to make it be like, and they're all connected.
Yeah.
Agreed. And for our last story, I found this kind of interesting, and you know I can't shut up about Battlefront. I even ate a hot pepper to talk about it on Hot Pepper Gaming, on YouTube's Hot Pepper Gaming channel. But Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront, has been confirmed to have only original trilogy DLC. It's going to be an extra $50 for the season pass. We got the... unfortunately. But it's four extra characters, a bunch of extra maps, all original trilogy related, and some would argue we kind of have all the original trilogy that we would need that was on a big battle scale, all of the main planets. So what is there left? What heroes? I mean, there are some heroes, yes, that we would like to see. What about you guys? Who do you want to see show up? And what planets? Like, what's left to really...
It's a good question. I defer to you, Joseph. Because I'm like, there's 35 in my head. So.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of bummed to hear this because I feel like I have played, as we've talked about, the original trilogy scenarios a bunch. Yes. I have taken out a lot of AT-ATs at the Battle of Hoth in my life. So I would want something really strange. I would want a cantina level where it's not expansive, it's cramped. Yeah. And there are drunk aliens in your way constantly. Because I was on you came up with this question. I was racking my brain for like, what have I never done? Like, I've never had to like fight a battle in the cantina.
You've never had to be like crowd control, everybody get out of the way. Yeah, there has, like, so far all of the levels have been really open. There hasn't been a really compact space. So I think maybe even the Tantive IV. Like at the beginning of episode 4,
better.
Like,
just
a little bit of a skirmish on a spaceship.
I'm being partially facetious about the cantina and the drunk aliens, but it would be fun. But I feel like in order for original content to excite me at this point, since I've been Star Wars video gaming for so long, I need it to be something really different. Yeah. Like the Tantive IV is actually a great suggestion.
Yeah, you know? they haven't done any really tight quarters.
Yeah, like
quarter
classic GoldenEye N64 has that great train level where you get a lot out of just being the sort of limited movement that you can do, and it's straight down a line. Tantive IV is a great suggestion.
Yeah. What about heroes? I figured Chewbacca, Lando, but what about the bad guys? What kind of bad guys have we yet to see on the battlefield?
Well, from the original trilogy, Dengar. Dengar. Right? You get to be a play Dengar.
Let's get Dengar first. Get Dengar. First bounty hunter comes to mind, not Boba Fett. Dengar. Nailed it. I figured John would be with me on this. I don't know if they'd do it, but IG-88.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be something really fun.
Yeah, it seems like you could have some cool abilities.
Yeah. But it seems oddly limiting to be like, we're going to do everything from the original trilogy and then we'll move on from that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was an interesting choice. But that will do it for news from the Holonet. Thank you, Joseph.
So we are going to get into the meat of our episode today, the fan theories. And let me tell you right away, we are only going to scratch the surface of surfaces. We are barely... There's so much out there.
Barely going to irritate the skin.
Exactly. We're barely going to irritate the skin.
But we're
going to talk... This has been really fun. I'll ask you about this general experience. Sure. Is, you know, we've been doing these shows, all of us, for a while. Yeah. We get to talk with fans who think like this about Star Wars all the time. And I've been amazed just going around... My sort of normal people friends who are outside of the Star Wars bubble who yeah. now want to talk about yeah. these kind of theories.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and like, this is cool. You know, I do this every week. Like, this exact kind of thing. It's yeah. awesome. So have you guys had that experience with like sort of the normals in your life?
Absolutely. My Facebook feed is full of it, of normal people.
Yeah.
Copying and pasting links going, have you heard this? Like, who's the you know, Rey's parents or Kylo Ren? Well, how did that happen? All this mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. And so,
did you hear about Ewan McGregor coming back and doing lines and how yeah. they took Rey out of Afraid from yeah. Sir Alec Guinness? That's pretty
yes.
crazy.
Yes, we heard that at this point. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to start with the big one, which it seems to be the most popular on the internet, is who are Rey's parents?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's certainly the one where there's the most articles breaking down the theories. And the main theories are Luke's daughter,
right?
Han and Leia's daughter. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan's granddaughter, just a no one, not part of a lineage, who happens to be very strong in the Force, born of the Force somehow, like Anakin, an immaculate birth, or a clone, a somebody, probably Luke.
Yeah.
Not Dengar, for sure. Maybe Luke. So those are the main theories that I found. I think the clone being the most rare.
Yeah.
So do you guys have favorites of those theories?
I absolutely think she's Luke's daughter. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I know it's simple. I know it's easy. And I got into a big discussion with like seven of my friends over the weekend about it.
Yeah.
Some of my normal friends talking about this because they'd seen the movie a couple times. So we were discussing it because that Kenobi theory is so popular. Like, it's like a wildfire. People think she could be Kenobi's granddaughter because of all the 30 years he was on Tatooine. And the stuff he had with Satine in Clone Wars, there's all kinds of possibilities that he could have broken his oath or his commitment to the council and done what he and carried on with somebody.
Yeah. I mean,
had a child.
Have a revelation of. Council doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
What am I doing? I'm here for this kid. I'm gonna do what's right for me and start living.
Yeah. And the council failed. It doesn't just exist. Right. Some of its rules backfired.
Yeah. And where would he find the time? And if he's taking care of another child, why would he take care of Luke? Like, there's all he'd be splitting his focus, and wouldn't his wife get upset? And you know, it'd be a whole thing. But I think it's Luke's daughter because just for so many references, and I think there are things I saw this fourth time. Solo's reaction to certain situations just made it feel like he knew her, and Leia knew her, but they couldn't reveal it because Luke. I think Luke might have sworn him to secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Luke. I just have this feeling, you know, because there's a moment where she says, "I didn't know there was so much green in the universe." And Han Solo looks at her with a sense of pity and sadness. And I initially, when I saw it the first time, I was like, oh, he's just sympathizing with her because she hasn't been off that planet.
No.
But I thought to myself, no, it's because he knows, but he can't tell her. And then also when Kanata says, hey, who is this girl? They cut away immediately
before
he can answer.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when she hugs Leia, or Leia hugs her, that's the first time they've seen each other. There's a way she hugs her. There's a familiar way she hugs her that... just to me says something.
And also hugs her before hugging Chewie.
Right.
For God's sake.
I think somebody has pointed out very well that maybe Chewie and Leia aren't entirely happy with one another, that they're at odds over Han's fate is a possibility. See, I think everything you're saying makes sense, but a part of me really wants Han and Leia to not know who she is. You know, it could fit any one of these theories, because in a way it makes Han and Leia richer and kinder to just have been around the galaxy so much to just recognize.
Right.
Who this young girl is, what she's been going through. And I think a lot of the connection with Leia can just be explained through, you know, the Force.
Yeah.
And
that's not how the Force works.
Yeah.
One of the best lines in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard the clone theory. I
can't accept that one.
It's interesting. No, I know.
But I love nothing more than a Roka mumble.
But the fact that they did, alluded to the one line, I told you we should have used the clone army or whatever thing that Kylo Ren said, makes that at least possible.
Sure.
That clones are still a thing.
And
while I think that is definitely the weakest, Luke's got to be involved in some way, whether he used the Force or whatever. And there's also the theory that he mind wiped her, just so that he wouldn't remember.
I like that idea.
She wouldn't remember anything,
right?
But just the way that Kylo Ren reacts to her, and everybody seems to react to her like, wait a minute, this feels familiar.
Yeah.
So something that once Kylo turned, they had to protect her by sending her to Jakku. And, like, as much as I would like for her preferably to be unrelated.
Yes, like, that's what you want in your heart, in your Star Wars heart.
I want her to be unrelated. I want her just, cool, another person can be touched by the Force. And the fact that Kylo Ren is so strong in the Force continues the Skywalker, like, it's still about the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't think we need somebody named Skywalker in it.
Yeah, it absolutely can be the story of the Skywalker saga if Luke remains a big character in 8 and 9, and Kylo Ren's fate is decided in 8 and 9. It's still the saga of the Skywalkers, even if Rey kind of moves forward to being the main character.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Undoubtedly the main character.
But here's the logical thing real quick, is that why would they send Rey? They just met Rey. We've seen Rey through the whole movie. So for us, it's like, oh yeah, of course they'd send Rey. But logically, they haven't met her till she shows up on the base after Solo's been killed, and then she's immediately on a Millennium Falcon and she's gone. They could have sent Poe. They could have sent, like, there are other people that they maybe trusted more, and Leia could have gone with them, you know, to see her brother. So I just feel there's a reason that they sent her, and it could be because she's related and because he has to see her daughter, and that's the way he's going to come back.
Fair enough.
His sister hasn't been able to do it. Han hasn't been able to do it. It has to be his daughter.
Yeah, I just do like the idea of the, just like, the Force Awakening, which goes back to Mark saying that she could just be a no one, the idea that Leia has heard all of the things that she's done. She's felt this awakening too, she just knows that, well, Luke probably didn't listen to Leia trying to talk sense into him, and he needs somebody else who is strong in the Force, somebody else who's been through what he has, to sort of hook him back into, like, no, this is your responsibility.
And either way, Rey was also being trained by Luke. Like, that's, I have no doubt in my mind that was happening at the same time, and her, how attuned she was with the Force helped protect them from Kylo Ren's first huge dark side outburst. And that's why everybody knows her and everybody reacts to her a certain way. But I think the sadness and the pity comes from, you have no idea who you are because we mind wiped you, and we're just living regret. It's like a Captain Light or a Dr. Light situation. I'm still in DC, but there's a moment where everybody kind of gets mind wiped and they don't talk about it.
I just love how we, like, just as a an organism, Star Wars fans made up mind wipe. I mean, there's certainly plenty of
seriously.
There's plenty of evidence for it. There's plenty of mind manipulation in The Force Awakens and many other things. But I'm sure it's maybe in canon somewhere. But, like, the way we're like, oh yeah, mind wipe.
Sure.
Like, it's not a central part of any major Star Wars story. I'm like, yeah, mind wipe. Of course,
it makes sense.
And
apparently,
we're all on board with that.
Yeah,
I think she will probably be Luke's daughter. As much as I love Obi-Wan, and my wife said that the first time we walked out, and my wife's not she likes Star Wars. But she's like, hey, what if it's Obi-Wan? Like, that'd be cool. Clone, it's so cool, but it gets too science fiction-y, right?
And you said they want to stay away from prequel stuff. I don't think they want to go knee-deep into it with the clone stuff.
I think they might go a little bit more prequel-y in the future, but maybe not with the main thing. So you guys are both on the page that she was absolutely trained or going to be trained by Luke before everything fell apart.
Yeah.
Interesting. And you're both hashtag team mind wipe.
I would say team mind wipe.
I accept that.
TMW.
I don't know, whatever that he said, you won't remember anything about this. Like, just like she did, like, open the door and drop your gun. He just did that. I don't know if it's a mind wipe necessarily.
No,
I think it's more like, you will now forget this. That's that.
It's an intense version of the Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I guess my main hope is just that it is well told. Because now we have this, you know, we have a year and a half or so to debate this. Luke's daughter feels right, but seems too obvious. And
novelization, they go a little bit more into the internalization of Luke's reactions at the end, which makes it imply either daughter or she went through a traumatic event and doesn't remember. It's one of the two.
Right, but it's an implication, and Hidalgo has already said anything that it goes too far for us in the book, we will say is not canon.
Yeah. Sure.
To me, it's fascinating because it's like a murder mystery without enough suspects, which is why we're like, clone, Obi-Wan's daughter, Qui-Gon, maybe he left some sperm at a Jedi bank, who knows, anything.
Just, like, a regular bank.
We're trying to come up with clever things because it's a murder mystery without enough suspects, and I feel like what's ultimately going to be satisfying is how it's told in the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because I think that's why Kylo Ren just being, we debated about Kylo Ren and him just being Han and Leia's kid felt satisfying, I think, because of the way it was doled out and how it affected the story on the screen.
Yeah.
It could, what if it's Kanan's daughter?
Yeah.
Or granddaughter or something. Like, there's a lot that it could be as long as it's told properly.
Yeah.
You mean Max Boncito's daughter? Is that because no. That's Kanan. I don't care what anybody says. That's
Flora Santeca.
That's yeah? Kanan.
All right. We already got it. We got another wild theory.
I'm sorry.
No, that's great. That's a great theory.
I don't care what you think.
We're going to get into a couple more theories, but that's a great wild theory.
I like that.
I want to talk a little bit about Finn, because I feel like people aren't talking about Finn as much. I feel like the advertising with the lightsaber made a lot of people think he's going to be a
also,
Force user.
People don't really like traitors that much. So.
There's a lot of anger at him being
There's
a traitor.
There's a lot of anger, yeah.
TR-80.
Yeah. So do you guys think Finn will still be a Force user after all?
Now, I could really betray myself here, but I thought you can't use the lightsaber unless you have the Force.
Well, Han used it on the...
Did he?
On the Tauntaun, yeah.
On the Tauntaun, cut it open.
What if Han has a Force?
Exactly.
That's another wild fan theory.
So, no. All right, so, yeah, I like the idea that he's using the lightsaber and all. I don't know. Is he a Force user? We don't know he's a Force user,
no.
Right?
We don't know he's if he's
anything,
not, yeah.
He's done, so I don't think he will be. I don't think he will be. I think he's just I think there's so much with what Rey's doing, and then you're bringing in Luke, and you're going to bring in Snoke, you're going to bring in Kylo Ren. There's already enough people using the Force. This is what was great about the Leia storyline in the original trilogy, is that Leia didn't need to use the Force. She could have. But she was using her other talents that she was better at or that she wanted to hone or wanted to develop. I'm sure there are plenty of people who have a skill to do something and don't do it because other things take precedence.
Yeah.
And so I think you don't need Finn to be a Force user, because then every time they have an argument or a spat as friends, because that's all they're going to be, in my opinion, they just Force use each other in little fights. And that just doesn't make any sense. That just would be weird to me.
You pack so much content into one
sentence.
That
was pretty great.
No, it's great. It's great. Finn and Rey are not going to have a romantic relationship.
Nope.
And if they're both Jedis, they'll push each other around with the Force.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It'll be like Thor Hulk, just like with their strengths punching each other back and forth.
What do you think, Mark? Do you want Finn to be a Force user? Do you think he will be?
I don't think he has to be. Like, we saw his potential. And I think... It's great to have the question that he might be.
Yeah.
And that's that, and like all of the questions about our new cast are keeping us on bated breath and having these conversations.
Yeah.
So I really like the Mace Windu theory, but he seems like a guy who, like, before he developed the lightsaber style that uses the anger, he would have strayed a little bit. Maybe, but if we're talking from what we see on screen until he dies, I can't see that guy having a wife, let alone fathering children.
That's my wife, man.
For Mace Windu.
For Mace Windu. Whether with this, I would like it, but I don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that we were so focused on the question of who will be the Force user, and many of us, I think, thinking that the advertisement was trying to trick us by putting the lightsaber in Finn's hands.
Yeah.
And that we've been so busy thinking about who will be the Force user that we hadn't thought of, like, well, maybe Luke will start training more than one person. And to me, I can see an interesting dynamic where if Luke and Rey are extremely powerful in the Force and Finn is just pretty good at the Force, there'd be some good, like, sort of comic elements for that.
Yeah.
And I also have a bit of a headcanon that I know most fans won't accept. The Empire and the First Order since have learned from not kind of hiding, and I'm going to say a really bad word here for Star Wars fans, midichlorians.
Okay.
And they've created an inhibitor that they give to the children that they pull from this for that program, so that even if they are Force sensitive, they just cut it out.
That makes sense.
Now, before the show, I looked on the internet for the weirdest fan theories I could find.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I just needed to turn to you guys. No, these are great. I love it. I love it.
I love that idea.
It's a military thing that makes sense to me. And while they won't say it, while they won't ever say it, I'm going to believe it.
Well, maybe that's why his training didn't take.
Yeah.
Because they have the scene where they show his head on the display screen as a kid and say he never showed any deviant behavior before.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the Force awakening in him.
Yeah. Maybe.
If he's not a Force user, kind of who do you want him to be? Because I feel like one of the great things about Force Awakens, it was multiple characters' heroes' journeys.
Yeah.
It's totally Finn's hero's journey from not wanting to deal with this, running away, and then, you know, building this great relationship with Rey, becoming a true hero, getting wounded. You know, he's kind of a cliffhanger. He's Han in Carbonite. Do you want him to be the cyborg leader of the Resistance Army? Who do you want him to be if he's not a Force user that keeps him as a prominent main part of the Star Wars story?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll come after you.
I want it to... So with Kylo Ren, we kind of have a thing where he's teetering towards the light side, and we haven't seen that that version of that character type yet.
Yeah.
Where they're definitely a dark side, not necessarily a Sith, but a dark side user that's like, oh, I don't want to be good. So I think with Finn, we're going to get some cybernetics, but going the good way as opposed to the bad way that Vader went.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting to me because always physical damage has been a metaphor for emotional damage.
Yeah.
And Finn seems like he's moving towards being like, super pure.
Yeah.
Just a great hero. And yeah, if you make him half cyborg, you got to make it clear that these are good cyborg legs, not evil cyborg legs.
But something from a character perspective and a visual perspective that I would like is if they have some sort of a prosthetic that looks like Stormtrooper armor, so that he can never forget what he was and what he was trying to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he kind of has that to constantly remind him and change that and make that his own.
Listen, we all want to be Poe or we all want to be Rey. Mm-hmm. They're the heroes of the story. I think Finn is the audience.
Yeah.
Finn is our protagonist. And I mean, like, Rey is our overall protagonist, but I think Finn is our access to this world. He is wide-eyed and discovering it just as we are.
Yeah.
Right? Everything is new to him because he's been in a helmet and being trained by this. And in the first battle, he's like, oh, I'm not doing this.
Yep. Yeah.
Peace. You know? Yeah. So everything he's discovering is new. So to me, I think he's the ground warrior. He's the guy that figures this out. He knows enough about the First Order and how they attack. This is something he refers to all the time after he takes the helmet off and goes and joins the Resistance. And I think he's going to be your ground warrior. I think you need someone to replace.
To be like the strategist.
Yeah, like a general. You've got to replace Leia, you've got to replace Akbar, you've got to need new blood. You have Poe in the air, you have Rey doing her thing, so you need Finn to marshal the forces. I think he's going to be great doing that.
That's cool.
And he'll develop and grow into that role because a lot of people are complaining that he's too wide-eyed in this film. Like, he's breathing heavy and looking around all the time. But it's a great portrayal because that's where he's at. He's an innocent new thing discovering this shit, stuff, and he's young. And so he's going to, like, when he progresses and grows, then he's like us. We're now comatose on that table waiting to see what happens in 18 months. Everyone else is living their life. We're stuck on the table as an audience.
That's a really great point because, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to take off right at the end where we left off because Star Wars jumps forward.
Right.
And we the crawl can't be like, remember back in December? Well, some stuff happened. So that would be really cool to see it from his perspective if our story starts kind of with Finn waking up and he's the one who's getting caught up on what's been going on.
Right.
I think one of the great things about Finn in this movie is he has an almost Indiana Jones quality.
Absolutely.
Where he's sort of like, I'm going to go do the thing that needs to be done even though I don't know that I don't have a plan and I'm not entirely equipped to do it and I will keep getting knocked down but I will get back up.
Yeah. I just need to do what I need to do. I don't... And if other good stuff happens, cool. But I gotta do me.
If he becomes more self-aware of that, of like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to get that done. I'm going to come out real injured, guys, because I'm going to do whatever it takes, no matter what.
You guys better be ready.
And he does that. It shows the ballsiness and his gutsiness when he grabs Poe. He has no idea what's going to happen. He's like, Poe's got to get me off this. I got to get off this. I'm going to risk everything to get off this Stormtrooper base. And then what he does later with, oh, God, I'm losing it. But what he does later where he's, like, making the decision to do these. Oh, no, when he goes with Solo and he works in sanitation. Right? And he says that to Solo, but he's like, no, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
He just has this ability to jump into these situations.
From the booth, we have a message. Oh. I feel like Finn is replacing Han. Kind of loose, goofy. That's fair.
Loose Goofy was his original name, I'm sure. Yeah, but no, there's definitely a Han quality, and the chemistry between those two as a comedy act was great.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole,
what are you doing this with your face? Yeah. I'm trying to come up with a plan. That's such a great moment.
Yeah, Star Wars needs humor, and Finn really carried that. Finn and BB-8 carried the humor.
And despite that, he was still one of the most grounded characters because he showed that humor.
Yep.
And that's what I love.
Yeah, it was absolutely organic. Otherwise, it would have been big and goofy in not a good way. So speaking of Han Solo, will Han Solo be alive in Star Wars Episode 8?
Interesting way to put that question.
So Kathleen Kennedy had the comment that the whole cast will be back, which is obviously before the movie came out, so maybe she just didn't want to say, of course, except for Harrison, who died. Like, obviously she doesn't want to say that. People are saying that IMDb, he's listed. And there have been a lot of good fan theories. One person, Espen Storo, wrote in to us on Jedi Alliance, Is there a chance anyone can survive a lightsaber through the heart, falling a few hundred meters into a pit, and have the planet itself explode and turn into a star?
I'm asking for a friend.
AMA. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did read a theory somewhere. I can't remember where that he landed in the trash compactor with Captain Phasma.
With Phasma.
And Phasma and Hux got him off the planet. Maybe they'll clone him or something.
That makes sense because Phasma has to survive.
Yeah, Phasma has to survive. But so, I mean,
oh,
there's...
Oh, my God.
Broke him.
Yeah, there's the fun theories of, like, how could that happen? Like... How could that happen, Terry? Not a bad theory in Star Wars land.
It was just one clean poke through the chest.
Yeah, but it does seem like, how can we make this super clear? We want Han to die elegantly, but he's not coming back. There's a star you can visit when you miss Han, because that's what's left of him.
You start, like, if you start 8 with, like, maybe Leia at talking about what's happened for the past 18 months
yeah.
and how she wishes he would have been there. There, you're good. There is a theory that we're going to see. Like, I've seen a lot of questions. Hey, can non-force people do force ghosts? No!
Yeah.
As far as I understand, they can't. If anything, I think we're just going to get flashbacks. We're going to get
that's
young Kylo Ren, or young Ben Solo, and them raising him.
And doing some kind of CG on his face.
Like they did with Jeff Bridges and Tron.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of that that's pretty good.
And they've gotten better at it.
I would be thrilled to see a flashback between Han and Luke, just because I think that's the only thing we really didn't get in terms of the original characters, because we get to see Luke and Leia interact, I think, in episode 8.
I was so mad about that.
It's really hurts.
Well, yeah, I wanted them to have one last scene if you're going to kill him off.
Yeah, and I think they might. There's hope.
Yeah.
Han Solo might be alive. So, would you guys be violently angry if Han Solo survived?
No. Maybe he survived.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless it's someone insane. If this Phasma thing comes true, I'm like, I guess you can counter it going, really, that's where you draw the line? But, I mean, the odds of that occurring would be insane.
If anything, I could see Phasma with, like, the corpse of Han Solo saying, hey, if you want to put this guy to rest, we have him here. So you get just kind of Harrison Ford just kind of standing around.
Like that would upset me greatly.
Like Unforgiven, you mean Morgan Freeman Unforgiven, just laying in the coffin.
Just something really, it's like, that's fine. I want them to know that my character's dead.
They could at least carbon freeze him again to have a little bit of respect.
Maybe.
I like, guarantee you Harrison's not coming back to do that.
No.
1,000%.
Like, we have a scene where you just propped in the corner. Would you be willing to do that? 50 million.
Sure.
50 million, Harrison.
No.
To stand up,
paying off my last plane.
My other thing with all these fan theories is that individually they're great, but all of these various ones really do add up to a lot of flashbacks. So if as fans we were able to say, okay, Disney, make this movie, we're kind of building a movie that's mostly flashbacks,
right?
And and lineage.
Well, you undercut
family trees and flashbacks.
You undercut the moment as well. Undercut the moment. If he willingly commits patricide.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have him live. I just think it takes away the arc that you're creating. You're creating a reverse arc with Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Vader went to the light as the trilogy went along, the first trilogy. In this trilogy, I feel like he's going to the dark in reverse. I don't think he's going to be redeemed. I think he can't be redeemed.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. No problem. Next question.
Yeah.
Will Snoke be Plagueis?
I feel like that's where they're going.
Yeah, the longest standing, most unkillable fan theory. Just this morning, when I was researching, Andy Serkis seemed to poo-poo the theory.
Ooh.
And say,
okay,
he's a guy named Snoke.
Yeah.
But again, it's an actor. It's not like an actual comment from Kathleen Kennedy or Lucasfilm.
But all the signs point that way.
So we've got the music being the same as when Palpatine is discussing him in Revenge of the Sith, right? A lot of people are pointing to Kylo Ren saying, no, Snoke is wise. Isn't Darth Plagueis the wise? Which is... it's evidence.
It's evidence. Yeah.
So John, do you want him to be Plagueis?
I think he'd be fine if he's Plagueis. I think I want to say this as respectfully as possible. It'll finally quiet people up about Plagueis.
Yeah.
Because people have hang on to that thing and make it such a huge deal. And it's like, I get it. It's awesome. It's fun. It's a cool theory. It's great to see him come to life and have him be on screen. That's great. But at least we'll be done with it. Plagueis is there. Now Plagueis is there. People can calm down and now he's being used and it's great.
Yeah.
But like for me, it's, it, it,
I think create him separately and then make me believe this 200-foot god that you're seeing. Like, I just, that kind of thing. If you bring it down and make it real and make it believable, then I'll be fine with him being Plagueis. I don't have any issue with that. And all the signs point to it. And nothing they do in these movies is by accident.
Yeah.
So playing that score at the same time as, you know, it matches what happened when he was telling about the story. It's logically what they're trying to show you. And the wise thing is a wink.
As is the staff. As is Ray's staff. Right, Ray's staff. Daisy Ridley has come and said, dude, it's just a staff.
Right.
But that's fine. I mean, that alludes to a similar thing with Luke's lightsaber, where it floated in space and was found on another planet. Mm-hmm. It could easily be a situation where they looked at the toy and went, that looks pretty cool. Or, hey, this is the thing.
Plus this whole thing with on the, I'm sorry, I didn't catch you, Mark. This thing on the ramp when Solo says to him, he's just gonna use you till he's powerful and throw you away.
Yeah.
This is Plagueis was from
That's
the
his
story.
MO,
yeah, from the story. So it just all leads to that. And she's a scavenger; she would find the staff.
But at the same time, it's been explicit that Snoke and Kylo Ren are not Sith.
Right.
They're not necessarily following the rule of two. Whatever the Knights of Ren are, they seem like maybe a little bit Force Uzi at least.
Right.
But they're explicitly
it's
not
an awesome
Sith.
Awesome gang.
Yeah, just mean people hanging out together. So do you think or want him to be Plagueis?
Like, I think right now, as much as I do enjoy the film, the Snoke parts, I hope that we do get them talking about Darth Vader on the deleted scenes. Yeah. We get a little bit more from the character, because so far we're just going off of what everybody else said, and that's kind of like a thing with the Emperor too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get that feeling from him yet, that this is somebody that we should really be scared of. I still think that he's somebody that, if they're ever in the same room with him, he'll be done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of him yet.
Okay.
So if he was, if they're like, oh, by the way, this is Plagueis, then I would be a little bit more scared of him, but
okay.
I don't see him as a big bad yet.
So you're happy with anything that makes him more scary?
Really? Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm fine with it if he's Plagueis. I like things that connect all of the saga as we know it. But I think there's a possibility that he is going to be a little, that in order to make this story work as we know it, that all of our characters know who Snoke is, since Han and Leia, like, they clearly have a relationship with him. He's not some shadowy guy who survived Palpatine's attempt and has been hiding. He has to have come out at least in the guise of Snoke and had an actual sort of functional relationship with our main characters to get that close to Ben Organa Solo. So I kind of like the idea that maybe he was just a part of the New Republic who discovered the dark side or wanted to be a part of the dark side. And another fan theory I've seen floating around that I like is that he's scarred up from a fight with Luke.
Oh, that's great.
Well, yeah, because he's, as long as they don't find
that's
him,
great.
He's cool. Like, it's not they have to find him, too. It's, they can't find him whatsoever.
Yeah, Snoke, if you watch the movie, Snoke kind of has an attitude of, like, either find him and kill him or just let him be. The important thing is just that Leia and the Resistance don't bring him back.
Exactly.
That's Snoke's big deal. Because, like, it seems like Snoke is maybe a little scared of Luke, which
like
is really, really cool.
I like that theory because then you have them have the fight. Mm-hmm. They have to have a fight. You know, as much as you have Rey Ren is leading up to that fight, there maybe has to be a Snoke-Luke fight. One last Snoke-Luke fight. That would make sense.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and Snoke-Luke fight is really fun to say.
Snoke-Luke fight. Snoke-Luke
Cool. Well, like I said, we could talk about the fan theories forever, and
we will. Really?
But for this particular episode, we're going to move on, having scratched the surface, irritated the skin
irritated
of these
the
great
skin
fan
of the Force
theories.
Awakens. We're going to go from there to our new favorite segment, Mind Probe, where we get direct questions from you, the viewer, from our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook on Jedi Alliance, we post every once and again the Mind Probe post, where you can ask us questions that we have a fun little conversation for. So, and there was a lot from this past block and some that was related to our general discussion today, but I grabbed a few out there, especially one that I personally found from my own typing it. Joel D. Shetman asks, what do you think the color of Rey's lightsaber will be, or will she take up the hero's sword, i.e. Anakin and Luke's blue lightsaber, as her own? So do you think she's going to keep the family one?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. The light blue makes sense. When she held it, I was like, that's where it belongs. It belongs in her hands. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Yeah, I think that's a generational lightsaber, even if she isn't a Skywalker.
Yeah.
She is the next strong Force user. And I really want Luke to have his green lightsaber. As cool as all this was, and it all had to happen with that lightsaber, I want to see that green lightsaber. With all of my little Star Wars geek heart, I want it so bad. But if she had her own, I think it would be really cool to just be something brand new, like orange.
That's what exactly what I was going to say. But I think it's going to be something, maybe not that she loses it just like Luke did, but that she passes it on to the next generation.
Interesting.
And for her own sake, she's going to make hers that it's kind of like the summary of her life. Like, this is my life, is this lightsaber. This weapon is your life. In a weird summary sort of sense. But yeah, I would see her using an orange one, if anything.
I think lightsaber technology. Oh,
if it's pink, I'm out of this trilogy.
They won't do it. They won't do it.
Right.
Yeah. I think there's also some interesting storytelling to be happening in episode 8, flashbacks, about lightsaber technology.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, it's been revealed in the visual dictionary that Kylo Ren's crystal is cracked.
Yes.
And some people have been theorizing that that's because he got Vader's old crystal. I think it's just because there's not access to them, that the planet Ilum, where they're from, something's happened to that. Yeah. It's been cut off in some way. Mm. So I think it'd be cool if, along with sort of the Jedi being limited, like, lightsaber technology has been limited. Right. So maybe you can't just make a new one.
Yeah.
Hmm. I like that theory as well.
Idea.
Colin Barber asks us, do you think we are going to see less and less of R2 now that BB-8 is the new droid on the block?
I would say no. I think BB-8 had his moment in Force Awakens, and I think R2-D2 was just sitting there waiting, and I think now he's going to become more integral. He went on the... It wasn't BB-8 on that sky, on that...
that's true. On the Millennium Falcon,
Falcon, I'm sorry, yeah. So I think it's going to be R2-D2 is going to have more to do. And plus that scene, you know, in her flashback where Luke puts his hand on his head. And so I think there's going to be more for R2 to do in this particular film. Now, maybe in the third one he recedes, but I think he was definitely going to be a little more seen in the second one.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility that structurally, I don't want episode 8 to be too similar to Empire Strikes Back, but I think it might be structurally a little bit the same as Empire Strikes Back and Attack of the Clones, where we have our characters split up into two main groups.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a possibility that BB-8 is hanging out with Finn and Poe, and R2's with Luke and Rey. Which I would like to see them together a little bit more, because they had a good vibe. It would be really fun to see R2 as the wise old droid. Like, I don't want to quite see him like in a cloak like Alec Guinness, but a little bit of that. R2's like, I've been around the block. I know things that you don't, BB-8.
Come on, kid. I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been lying to the Skywalkers for decades.
Here's what actually happened. And then BB's just, his lens just gets wider and wider and wider and wider as he's listening to these beeps and boops.
That would be a great new advancement of BB-8. Yeah, lighter's turned down. His eye gets huge. His little head explodes. I wouldn't want that. That was too far. I love BB-8.
I think there's way too much fun to be had with R2 and BB-8 sharing the screen together.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of the flashback, or, well, the vision, did anybody notice that hand was different than Luke's hand at the end of the movie?
Yes, because Luke's hand did not have the black glove on it.
No.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're both mechanical, but they're a different kind of mechanical.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, I thought I was seeing things. And then from Dark Monica... Never heard of that person before. Do you think the advertisements tried too hard to set up Captain Phasma as a new badass when the internet took hold of the TR-8R Baton Trooper as its new sweetheart?
I'm not clear who this question came from. Is this from...
me.
Is it from an evil character from Friends?
Yes.
Is that from Dark from Monica?
Yeah.
When Monica turned into the Dark Phoenix Force, right?
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Exactly.
Where's the soapbox?
The Phoenix Force in it.
Where's the soapbox?
I'm sitting on it. I'm actually not very tall.
All right, so this is your question.
Yeah,
okay.
This is something that I want to bring up. Because it's something that's been on the interwebs, is how little Phasma was actually in the movie when they were presenting her as this huge thing.
I agree.
I'm just excited for the future of the character.
Let's hope so.
But do you think that they tried too hard to push her as the new badass character?
I don't think they tried too hard at all. I feel like they did what Star Wars advertising has always done, which is the things that look cool go forward in the advertising. And this one, they also had their hands tied of there's certain things we don't want to show.
Right.
And I didn't expect I wasn't disappointed because I didn't expect Captain Phasma to have that much room to do that much.
Right.
Yeah, there's a bigger story to be told.
And then I think what you're getting to in this question is that some people feel like, well, there was room for Phasma to have been the one who had the fight with Finn.
Yes.
And instead it was what people are calling TR-8R. Because
traitor.
He or she yells traitor. So, and it's the official title is Riot Trooper.
Riot Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And they're actually making like a really nice figure of that fight, so that it's going to full shield, full spinning baton. Yeah. Excuse me, Whoppity Stick, as the internet has dubbed it.
Oh, Whoppity Stick.
The Whoppity Stick. Those memes are just too good. That's why I wanted to bring it up is because the internet, as they do, kind of pick and choose what they want to make successful or not.
It's right. A cool moment that stands alone for a reason. Out of nowhere, a stormtrooper has his awesome weapon and then makes a stand about it.
And there's a bit of a backstory to it.
I feel like there has to be. Is there? You know?
There's in Finn's novels or in the
Before the Awakening.
Yeah, Before the Awakening in Finn's section, his miniature battalion of like 4 or 5 soldiers, they have a sequence of hand-to-hand combat weapons training.
Oh, okay.
And it's alluded that the baton trooper like goes through the entirety of the battalion, and Finn comes up as like the last dude and beats him really quick. But he's like, "Well, of course, I did all of the work, but you came in and took it from me." But it's also they were kind of friends, and so there's that little bit of new expanding universe that's gone into the background.
See, now you step into my criticisms of the movie. There wasn't enough of that explained out to understand the death of the stormtrooper at the beginning affecting Finn the way it did, and the fight with Tiara. You knew immediately there's history here just from his reaction of yelling traitor the way he did, because then Ren does it later to Daisy Ridley and to Finn again.
I think you can just infer, and then it's supported other places, that the indoctrination of the First Order is about getting them to believe in ideology rather than just work for the scary guy, which is what the Stormtroopers did in the Empire. Yeah.
This We're in is this together.
A much more sort of Nazi, much more real world thing. Believe our set of values, which then does make it more interesting that, like, I would be so mad that you stepped away from our belief system.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool to me. And I was looking at Phasma's data bank entry, and a couple of cool things in there that people on the internet have started to discover, that her armor is actually taken from a Naboo ship.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is really, really cool. I really like that. And it also talked about how the First Order stormtroopers are encouraged to improvise. Unlike the Empire, who is like rigid and trained, because they think that will make them better fighters if they can think on their feet and adapt to circumstances. Which then, as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, well, that's what TR-8R is about. It's like, oh, well, I know I should be over there, but I'm super pissed at Finn. Yeah. So I'm going to get out my whoopity stick.
And not just drop it. Throw the shield and the gun, and it's like, no, we're doing this.
It is an internet moment. It is almost the most fan fictiony. I was worried about the movie being too fan fictiony in terms of fan service. I mean, it's not to me. I know people feel that way, but that was the one that felt most like an 8-year-old going, would it be cool if one of them had a lightsaber and a stormtrooper had an energy stick? Like,
but at the same time, that shows you the difference of the training between the First Order and stormtroopers. Yeah. Is they're prepared for Jedi. And the really low, it was a great voice. at the very low chance that the Jedi do come back, we're going to make sure that everybody's ready.
Yeah, I know.
And they seem like a threat.
Absolutely.
So I want that 8-year-old in the movie.
That'll be one of the commentaries available. The 8-year-old voice commentary.
Yeah, let's do a watch along where it's just you and that character.
That'd be great. I like dishing.
Do we want to do any of our optional questions, or do we want to move on to the next thing?
Let's do the optional one next week, and we can move on.
Sure, let's move on to that. Make sure to head to the Jedi Alliance Facebook page if you want to be on the show, our Mind Probe segment. Leave us a question, and you can be on the show. Thanks for everybody for supplying the questions.
And then we got this last one, right?
Oh, you wanted to...
Yeah, let's do the last one. I thought one of these were... Yeah, okay. But that was a great wind-up. Sorry.
It was. Anyway, on that, what color do you associate each Star Wars film with?
Now, you mean all six?
All seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love this question because I like it when you guys give us the weird questions that somehow make sense. Yep. And to me, that's Star Wars. A weird thing that shouldn't make sense, but beautifully does.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the first one is that the sand color, whatever color you want to say, crane brown, light brown, whatever you want to say.
The sand.
The Empire Strikes Back is light blue. Return of the Jedi is green. Those are my colors for those.
Okay.
For those three, Phantom Menace is a dull gray.
Understandable.
Okay.
The Attack of the Clones is again that cream color again because of the fight at the end in the arena.
Genosis.
And then the last one is the darker, like the lava color is what I would say.
Deep red.
Yeah,
I'd say that too.
Yeah. How about do you want to go or?
No, why don't you go ahead first?
Okay, mine were similar, although yours was very creamy.
Yes.
I didn't describe the texture of my colors the way you did. New Hope to me is orange, and I think that's partially because a lot of the marketing and a lot of the text that you see associated with it is orange, as well as Tatooine and all that. Empire is blue. Yeah.
Empire is blue.
So about that lightsaber and those great blue and orange contrast scenes that, I mean, just is blue. Jedi is green, too. Yeah. And I don't know if that's just the power of the lightsaber.
It's
Endor. We did
Endor
not
too.
But also about
the,
this.
The marketing and some of the special edition posters, they have a hue to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, especially for those three, like, I would say yellow instead of orange for Force Awakens. I would say orange because of BB-8.
Oh, nice. Nice, yeah, because of the marketing. Yeah.
For those 1, 2, and 3, Revenge of the Sith is definitely... That's funny how you put lava color, too.
Yeah, so, yeah. Red. So, yeah, for red. Me, I put for the Phantom Menace's taupe.
Wait, creamy is a problem, but taupe's okay?
Here's the thing.
Specific as opposed to...
I spent thousands of dollars to get a liberal arts degree in visual art, painting. Taupe is a color that is very expensive. It is an acrylic paint, which I purchased. Taupe to me, because there's a lot on Tatooine, and there's something. I like the Phantom Menace, but there is something about it that is, in a way, calmer, because it is introducing you to all of these new ideas. Okay. So taupe made sense to me. For clones, it was burnt sienna, which is the color of Geonosis, for sure. Burnt sienna is also one I bought a lot, because you needed it to mix with other colors, which makes sense for Attack of the Clones, because people don't like it, but you need it for it to make sense with a lot of other things. And Sith, I wanted to say red, but it's just lava color.
Yeah,
it's lava color. It's red, it's orange.
Maybe
red. A little pink.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of raw flesh.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sorry.
My legs!
Singed flesh.
Singed flesh.
How much is that color?
And for The Force Awakens, I went purple, because it just feels... new. It feels like it is in the family of all the other colors, but feels like it is still something new.
Mine's black red. The black red of the TIE fighter.
Yeah.
That's my color. That combo black
squadron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That's my color for it.
Yeah. There's a lot of darkness coming through on that. I actually like the color of the TIE fighters as the white blue of the rest of the squadron, which was really cool, and how thrown together those were. I'm pretty much in agreement with all y'all.
Really?
except for the orange for Force Awakens, but aside from that, the 4, 5, and 6 are straight up.
Okay.
Straight up agreement.
Yeah. Okay, but is Phantom Menace creamy brown tan? Or taupe, because one of them is a little bit more elegant.
Whatever.
Creamy brown tan.
Dull gray, man.
Dull gray.
Because I think of where they're at on the ship, on the fights and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to call it silver.
Hey, that's great.
Because it's shiny, new, and a little unnatural.
I will agree with silver.
I think silver's great, and it actually fits with,
The cruiser.
Nubian cruisers. Yeah, so that's great. Excellent. So we will do we had some optional questions because you guys give us too many great questions, and sometimes an evil character from Friends has a question as well that we must address.
Make him back for that again.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll move on to Duel of the Fates. Summon the Force energy. So last week's question is, what do you guys think the title of Episode 8 will be? And we really encourage people to have both serious answers and just bizarre out there answers. And we got a lot. We'll read a couple of them. Mike Williams said, it should be called Star Wars Episode 8, First Order V Resistance, Dawn of Jedi. Which is both absolutely absurd and pretty accurate, I think, to what the content of the film is going to be.
That would be the anthology one, if anything.
Yeah.
that could be an anthology title.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chris Whitehead said, oddly enough, Return of the Jedi now fits Episode 8 more than it did Episode 6.
I would agree with that.
I can't go all the way to more, but when I was racking my brain, I was like, Return of the Jedi, because that feels like the spirit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Elkanah Williams said, Star Wars The Lost Order,
ooh,
which I thought was really good in spirit. It felt fresh and new. I think we need to get a verb in there.
And it counts for both sides of the coin, which I
exactly.
like a lot.
Yeah,
so
good. So that's a good one. So, John, what do you want Episode 8 to be called?
I think what we referenced earlier in this show, Shadow of the Empire, would be a great name for this one.
Really?
Because now we have The Force Awakens, and just like, because I think they are following the blueprint from the original trilogy, this second one's going to be darker. They said they got a different director that will direct this a little bit darker. You've got the training. You've got Snoke training Kylo Ren to be even darker. So to me, it's the Shadow of the Empire now becoming stronger and coming back against the Force, against the surprise of Rey and the Jedi, of her Jedi, her Force powers, all this kind of stuff. So I think it's possible. And then the third one is going to be more of a hopeful title. But that's what I think. Shadow of the Empire would be great.
But we need a verb, right? I mean, it has to have a verb. It has to have an attack or a strike, right?
Sure.
So the Order loses is not a good
title. Strike of the Order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Order Strikes.
The Empire Rises. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
First Order Rises.
Rise of the
Empire. Yeah.
First
Rise
Order
of the
Rises.
Jedi.
First Order Rises. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be really, really interesting.
Death of the Jedi.
That is definitely dark.
Yeah, well.
I don't want to give anything away again.
Yeah.
Let's keep it at a taupey level, please. Yeah.
Han Solo still dies.
Episode 8, Han Solo is still dead.
Yes. Yeah, that would really, really bring me in.
And then at the very end, he's not. Damn it.
And what is what's the exciting verb in that? Is. Yeah, all right.
Disney, you did it again.
So we're going to move on to this week's question, which is, it's kind of connected to the fan theories, one of the big fan theories we didn't touch on because I wanted to do it in Duel of the Fates, and it is, do you want to see Kylo Ren come back to the light side?
No.
I think he's going to try, and he's going to realize how far he's fallen, and he's going to accept his fate as a member of the dark side and essentially just be like, just do it. I don't.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, I think any good villain thinks that they're doing everything for the right reason.
Yes.
And I think his talk at the very end made him think, oh, Dad's cool with it. Awesome. I'll be back to the light side one day because he said it was okay. But then everybody's going to go, you were killing people. What the hell is your problem? So I think he's going to try and be very, very unsuccessful.
I have something to say, but I'm afraid to say it.
Oh, feel free.
Okay. As long as there's not a cuss.
Whenever you say that you're afraid to say something, I only want to hear it more.
Seriously, really.
Here's my belief. I think he doesn't go back to the light side. I think he can't. I think to validate the death of Solo, he has to go all the way to the darkness. Mm-hmm. Rey has to kill him in the end of the trilogy.
Sure.
It makes sense. I'm scared because Disney's in charge of this thing that they'll find a way to bring him back to the light. And I think that's what I don't want to see that because then it invalidates, once again, I'm saying it invalidates Solo's death. And I still believe that the Leia situation is going to play itself out in some way because the Leia Organa from the original trilogy would have gotten on a shuttle herself, would have flown to wherever he was and pulled him back by his ear back to the house. And the fact that we didn't see that means that he's gone that far.
Oh, great.
And he's not coming back. I don't think he's coming back. But then killing his father, I don't know how Leia could forgive that, to be honest
with
you. No, I agree.
And I think he'll just keep going because, like I said, it's the reverse trajectory of Vader. He's going to embrace that and become that and become the powerful evil thing that he is.
Yeah.
He might even live.
Hmm.
But I'm sorry, Mark.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think there's a very deluded sense of this is the right thing to do in his head that makes him think, oh, well, once I do what I need to do on the dark side, I'll just flip the switch and I'll go back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the madness will truly come and he won't be able to realize how far he's fallen, but everybody else has to find that.
To clarify, and because the one of the big fan theories out there is that he is a double agent and he is just trying to get close to Snoke doing the horrible dark things he has to. Basically, he's Snaping it up, doing horrible things to try to... there's a lot of Snape parallels to draw.
Yeah.
Do you guys... It sounds like maybe you buy that theory a little bit.
I can believe it if they utilize it, but I don't want to.
I don't know how I'd be real upset if they do that.
I think it's a fine theory, but I don't want it to be true either. And I don't think it entirely matches up. I think there are a few problems. I think, to me, the amazing thing about the movie, and Kylo Ren in particular, is that they gave us all of these rich archetypes with successful new twists.
Yeah.
And if you had asked me, do you want the movie to be about another Skywalker who fell to the dark side? I would have said no.
Right.
But the fascinating thing about it is it's a Skywalker trying to fall to the dark side.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he is a petulant child.
Yes.
And that is what makes him fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would love it if they kind of continued on that theme where he gets to a point where he tries to turn back and everybody's just like, we don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
The galaxy, your family doesn't care about your redemption. You petulant child.
Yeah.
Go ahead and turn back. Because there's just something to me about. If he came flying home, he's like, guys, I turned back. Great, Kylo Ren. Go play with your helmets.
That would be an interesting, tragic moment if they do it correctly, the story-wise, filming-wise, acting-wise, to the moment where he could turn. And because of people's inability to accept or believe that he might.
That's what I mean.
That he goes full on.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful, rich stuff because...
I guess that would be very Shakespearean. I like that idea.
And okay. I think it's...
Macbeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing this for the right reason. Are you, though?
Yeah. It connects to the saga so much where the prequels are all about the Jedi shouldn't have connections. Having connections is dangerous.
Yeah.
To where Luke subverts that and says, no, my faith in my friends actually is a great power.
Yeah.
And I'm going to reject that.
Yeah.
And then where does that... Thematically, where do we end up with Kylo Ren?
where our heroes believe in forgiveness.
Yeah.
Can they forgive him? Can we as an audience forgive him? Is really, to me, I think they just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I just think it would be more powerful if they don't redeem him. That's just my
opinion. No, I don't think he will be.
Yeah.
Oof. Cool.
Well, we got 18 months.
Well, and then that whole next movie. So, maybe that will be the title of episode 8. No one cares,
no
Kylo.
No one cares, Kylo.
It's going to be like a peanut special. No one cares, Kylo.
Make sure to follow Emo Kylo Ren on
Yes,
Twitter.
Please do. It's the best.
Yeah, he underlines all that really well. Well, that's basically our show for today. You guys have any other wild theories you want to throw out in the last minute? You threw out a lot of great
ones. I got to save them for this whole 18 months. We got a big thing. We got a whole lot to talk about. So
I read one this morning that I'm in love with right now, and it is that Captain Phasma is possibly the young girl who crash landed on Endor in the two Ewok movies. I would love it if that's true.
And what happened to turn her into that?
That's what I'd like to know. Maybe she's the double agent. That I would accept way more.
Oh, she's the really Ewok ambassador working for the First Order.
It would be great.
How mad would the whole galaxy be?
So angry!
If we got to the end of this trilogy and Captain Phasma pulled her helmet off and called her Ewok friends to stop
and
the
we
First
get,
Order.
But we get the reintroduction of Yub Nub for real.
Yeah, for
it's
real.
Like, no, it's still canon. Get out of here, smooth jazz. Easy listening Endor edition.
Yeah. My fan theory is that they just move on in that a few people aren't related to each other. That's my big fan theory, is that some people aren't related to each other.
A wild theory would be coming from the books. That we get to see Thrawn in some way.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really cool, because he's alluded to at the end of Aftermath. And to have him some way on screen would make a lot of fans happy, and he's just a great character.
Yeah. I think he's DR8R.
No,
we haven't seen under the helmet. We haven't seen under the helmet. We don't know.
I don't think we will.
No, I don't think
unless
not becomes, anymore.
Unless it's Doomsday.
Yeah. I don't think TR-8R survived.
No,
I think he died.
That was a hell of a shot.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Tell people what you're doing, where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at The Rocha Says, R-O-C-H-A. That's my homage to The Rock, who I love so much. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm hosting shows on the Collider Network, Flash Recap Show, The Walking Dead Recap Show, and then I also do podcasts, Far, Far Away Podcast, just Star Wars Podcast. On Geek Nation, the top 10 show for the Schmoes Know YouTube channel, which is a movie show, and I also host Cast of Characters, which we interview people who are successful in voiceover animation and video games, and it's great. It's
and then you just do
a Geek Nation, geeknation.com.
You just do a podcast that lists all your podcasts, right? So you can keep them in your own memory. Right?
Keep reminder. Quick reminder.
So listen. Impressive that you remember them all.
Yeah, well,
it's pretty damn good.
I try.
I hope that The Rock gets into Star Wars at some point. No. I think that'd be fun. Akbar takes off his mask and it's The Rock. You can follow me on Twitter.
Theory's gone wild.
Hey, man, you asked for him. I'm going to just let him loose whenever they happen. If you want to hear more weird fan theories, make sure to follow me on Twitter at SoapboxMark. Also, in case you missed it, go to YouTube, Hot Pepper Gaming. I reviewed Star Wars Battlefront for them and had a great time. It was actually a lot of fun, and I would do it again, but it was just pure madness. And a whole bunch of stuff here at the Popcorn Talk Network, as well as AfterBuzz TV. We're coming back huge for 2016. A lot of stuff coming. Make sure to follow me there. Joseph.
My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. You can follow me on all the social medias is at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find out all the different stuff I'm doing on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. I'm always doing live shows in LA. I'll be at a bunch of different conventions, including Gallifrey One. And you can listen to my other podcast, which is called Obsessed, on feralaudio.com. We have an episode relatively recently with Mr. John Rocha talking about fathers and sons and soccer, and
that
it is
great.
It is a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died, perhaps killed by TR-8R, to bring us this information.
Wobbity, 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 wobbity.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.